In the Bible, the blowing of the shofar signifies various sacred and practical meanings, including a call to repentance and spiritual awakening. It's a reminder of God's presence and His sovereignty. It's a herald of festivals, worship festivals, and also the Messiah's coming. It's a signal in battle to rally the forces and the troops, or even to cause confusion among the enemy. And the shofar's blowing symbolism ranges from the sound when Moses was on Mount Sinai to the last trumpet that we read about in the New Testament, which opens the way for the resurrection of the dead and the coming of Christ. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about a call to repentance, because that's what the blowing of the shofar represents today. It's a call to repentance. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, he says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." Turn to me. He says, turn to me. That means turn to the Lord. That means come back to me. Turn away from others, turn away from other things, and turn to me. In Jeremiah chapter 4, he says this, "If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, and if you will, put away your abominations out of my sight. Then you shall not be moved, and you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory." Jeremiah chapter 2. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." And there in Jeremiah chapter 9, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might or his strength. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." He says, turn to me, return to me. You know, we can know the Lord. We can believe in the Lord. We can even worship the Lord, but be far away from Him. You see, it's not what we do on the outside. It's what's on the inside that matters to Him. People, the Word says, looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And that's what He's calling us to do in Joel when He says, turn to me with all your heart. fasting, weeping, with mourning. In other words, with brokenness. With brokenness. You know, we sang a song earlier, Gracefully Broken. Gracefully broken, what does that mean? I believe gracefully broken means that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God has lovingly but firmly broken you. Amen. And so my question this morning is, are you gracefully broken? It's much better to be gracefully broken than to be harshly broken. But either way, we need to be broken. We need to be broken. We need to be broken individually. We need to be broken as a church, as a people, as a body. And I think there lies, in many instances, for many of us, we've never been broken before the Lord. We've never been gracefully broken by His Spirit and by His Word. He says, turn to me. Turn to me. And then Jeremiah speaks so profoundly when he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You know, we think we're so wise and so smart, it keeps us from being broken. And he says, let not the strong man or the mighty man glory in his strength or his might. Sometimes we think we're so strong that we can deal with anything, and we refuse to be broken. And he says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, sometimes we depend on our own ability to produce, to provide, and to have. And pride keeps us from being broken. Gracefully broken. When you're gracefully broken, you're broken by Him. Amen. And you say, well, why does He want us to be broken for this right here? So that if we glory only in that we understand and know Him. That He is the Lord exercising loving kindness. And we all want loving kindness from the Lord, don't we? The problem is that's all we want from Him very often. But He says that we understand and know Him, that He exercises loving kindness and judgment. Judgment there, the word judgment meaning justice. Justice is a two-edged sword. We might want justice for somebody else, but we don't want justice when it comes to ourselves, because sometimes His justice will bring correction and brokenness. Joel 2, verse 13 says, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. Rend your heart. The word rend means to tear or to rip apart, but it also means to harrow or distress the heart with painful feelings. which is nothing more than brokenness. You see, the custom was back then when they were moved over something concerning God, they would rip their garments and sometimes cry out or mourn or weep. But you know what the Lord's saying there? He says, rend your heart. Tear your heart. Let your heart be broken. I don't care about your garments. You see, the garments are on the outside. The garments are just window dressing. It's what's on the inside that he wants broken. Psalm 34. Verse 18. The Lord is near to those. Listen to this. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. The word broken there means humble. And save such as have a contrite heart. Contrite means remorseful or repentant. Remorseful or repentant. And then in Psalm 51, we read these words. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God, listen, are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. A broken and contrite heart is a repentant heart. A repentant heart before the Lord. He says, rend your heart. And then again in Joel 13, rend your heart and not your garments. Not your garments, not your facade, not your window dressing, not your religious acts, not your superficial spirituality. Not any of that. Your heart. Your heart. Rend your heart. You see, we can come to church and we can play church and we can look spiritual in here and we can worship and we can praise. While we're indulging in sin. While we come in here with unforgiveness towards someone. A family member. Or someone else. But we come in and we worship and we praise the Lord. And we sing hallelujah. And we sing gracefully broken. And yet, we have unforgiveness in our heart. Or we have envy. Or jealousy. Or strife. He doesn't care what we rip here. He wants this torn. He wants it broken. He wants it circumcised. Joel 2:15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Call a sacred assembly. In Numbers chapter 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses and saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. And when they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle." And then he goes on in verse 7, "And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance." You see, it was used to call a sacred assembly. Call the people together in a sacred assembly. Joel says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly." A sacred assembly. You see, that's what this worship service, a church service, is supposed to be. A sacred assembly. Not a light show. Not a concert. Not a pep rally. Not an expose. It's supposed to be a sacred assembly. A sacred assembly. Now, that being said, there should be joy in the house. There should be joy in the tabernacle. But there also should be respect and reverence. Yes. Joel 1:14 says, "Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders, all the inhabitants of the land, into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." Do you come in here to see what you can get today? Or do you come in here and cry out to the Lord? Not for what you want, but do you cry out to Him for to know what He wants from you or for you? You see, consecrate a fast, he says, and cry out to the Lord. Consecrate a fast means, consecrate means make holy, it means purify, it means sanctify, but it also means separation or setting apart for serving the Lord. Consecrate. Call a sacred assembly. Again, that's what this is supposed to be. A sacred assembly. Full of joy, but also respect and acknowledgement of who we're worshiping. Yes. We're not worshiping his screen up here and the lyrics on it. We're not worshiping the praise team. You see, too many people treat church services as just another event. They come late, they check out early, we fit it into our schedules when it's convenient. And too often, people even approach serving in the church the same way. Just fill the spot, do the bare minimum, and feel like you've done something for Jesus. With no thought of why you're serving and who you're serving.
Right.
Jesus is calling his church to repent. Amen. Repent of our complacent, passive religion. Just coming in humdrum every week, sit in the same place, go through the same motions, sing a few songs, listen to the pastor, and get out of here and go back to life as usual. It's a call to repentance. It's a call to repentance. Micah 6:8 says, it tells us to walk humbly with your God. Key word there is with your God. With him, not around him, not from a distance, not conveniently, but walk with him in lockstep, up close and personal. Blow the trumpet. in Zion. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, and sanctify the congregation. Verse 16. You see, it's time to get cold or to get hot, but lukewarm must go. Lukewarm must get gone in the church. Verse 16, gather the people and sanctify the congregation. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Sanctify means the same thing as consecrate, but it also has the connotation of cleansing. Cleansing. This won't be on the screen, but I shared it with the team this morning, and he's just prompted me to share it with you. It's from Isaiah, and he says this. When you come to appear before me, that's what you've done this morning. You came in here to appear before him, whether you know it or not, because he's here. If he's not here, we all need to leave. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts? To come in here lackadaisical, loosey-goosey, no respect? Show up when you want to? Visit, carry on when prayer's going on? Carry on conversations while someone's praying from the platform? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Futile, the word futile means worthless. He's saying, don't bring me any more futile sacrifices, any more false praise, any more lip service. Praise me with your lips, honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon, Sabbath, the calling of the assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Now you need to understand what he means there. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting, meaning iniquity in the sacred meeting. He said, I can't endure it. I can't stand for people to continue to come into worship, to come into a church service, and all they want to do is flop around with the outside and the exterior and the window dressing and look good. But on the inside, something's rotten. Something's wrong. Something's far from me. And he goes on to say in verse 16, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Which simply means to vindicate. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he sums it up here. If you are willing and obedient, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The sword is his word. There's two things here. If you're willing and obedient, that's a choice. Or if you refuse and rebel, and that's a choice. Which choice have you been making? Which choice are you making? Which choice will you make? Willing, be willing and obedient, or refuse and rebel? Exodus 19 and verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today. Go to the people and consecrate them today. We already said consecrate means make holy, purify, sanctify, set apart for serving the Lord. And so that's what he's telling Moses to do. Go to the people, consecrate them today, and tomorrow let them wash their clothes. Wash their clothes. You see, a sacred assembly means something to the Lord. It means something to him when we're in his presence. It means something for eternity. And it should mean something to us. More than just, well, I'm going to church today. I know exactly what's going to happen. The pastor's going to have a good word. It's going to make me feel good. Well, you missed it today, didn't you? Listen. When the Lord breaks us, when you're broken before the Lord, it may hurt a little bit, but it's going to mean so much when you're truly broken before Him. It will change your relationship with Him. It will strengthen your relationship with Him. It will deepen your relationship with Him when you're broken before the Lord. Joel 2:17 says, let the priest who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? You see, too often the church lives and acts like the God we serve is just someone we talk about, but it's not truly reflected in our lives, or our lifestyle. We want Jesus on Sunday, but we want our lifestyle in our way Monday through Saturday. Don't we? You see, when he's not truly reflected in our lives or our lifestyles, do you know what unbelievers think? What he said right here. Where is their God? Where is this God they talk about on Sunday and they worship on Sunday and they praise on Sunday? But on Wednesday, as an unbeliever observes, does he see that God or does he say, where is that God that they had on Sunday? Listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus said this to the religious leaders. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Worship team, just come on up. Woe to you, scribes. Look at the words on the screen. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders. He's speaking to the religious leaders. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to us. Do you come in? Let's pray. Do you come to church with your window dressing on? You see, you can look at a house, and there can be nice curtains hanging in the windows. But you can also go inside behind that nice window dressing, and things can be rotten in the refrigerator. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're hearing from God, but I know what I'm hearing from God. And that's time is running out. And it's time for the church to be the church. And I've heard that said for years and years. When is it going to happen? When is the church going to be the church? When is the church going to get serious about Jesus? When are we going to begin coming together in sacred gatherings? Sacred gatherings. Not legalistic, come with a frown on your face and sit staunchly still, but to come in with the joy of the Lord, to come in expectantly, to come in bringing Him something, not coming to get just something from Him. And we can't bring Him futile sacrifices. He's tired of futile sacrifices. He's tired of us living the way we want to live Monday through Saturday, and then to come in here with a smile on our face and raise our hands to Him. I'm not sure I shared it, but let me give you Isaiah again. I may have missed something. Bring no more futile sacrifices, the new moons, the Sabbath, the calling of the assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. And your feast, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, when you lift your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. You see, when we come in with futile sacrifices, when we raise our hands and praise Him, and our heart is far from Him, He turns His eyes away. When we come in and give Him lip service, and we pray to Him, but our hearts are not right with Him, He closes His ears to those prayers. I didn't say that, He did. We're being called to repentance. Do you need to repent this morning? Is there something from God's Word that He has shown you, a place in your heart where you need to repent? And you need to rend your heart. You need to let your heart be torn, be circumcised before Him instead of just your outside, your performance, your put on, your pretend. You fake it till you make it, your make-believe. What does He want from you? He wants your whole heart. He wants a repentant and a contrite heart. That means a broken, humble heart. What's the Lord speaking to you today? I'm just going to get quiet for a minute and let Him have His way. Are you broken? Have you ever been broken? Gracefully broken? Lord, I pray that You'd have Your way in this church. You'd have Your way in us. But I also know, Lord, the only way for You to have Your way in us is for us to repent and to be gracefully broken before You. A brokenness that only comes from You. A brokenness that doesn't come from emotions or feelings or thoughts, but a brokenness that comes by Your Spirit and Your presence in our lives. Lord, I pray that You gracefully break us. That we would be willing and obedient to be broken so that You can gracefully break us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.